You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All righty. Thank you for tuning in to 15 Minutes of Flame, where we toke and talk about sex, cannabis, and other things in between. I am Dr. V. Helene, and this is actually my introduction, my introductory first podcast. So, thank you for joining me. I am a sexologist. I have my PhD in human sexuality, so I am a sex educator and researcher. Let me get my headphones right real quick. Okay. That's better. Much better. All righty. So, why 15 Minutes of Flame? Well, I figured this is a platform where two of my biggest interests intersect. One as a sexologist and the other as a cannabis activist, which I must say, both sex and cannabis are usually hot topics, hence 15 Minutes of Flame. So you may hear a range of topics that are primarily sex and cannabis related, but we will discuss many things in between. I do have some of my closest loved ones here with me today. Keisha Scott, founder of Game Media, a digital public relations agency, and Andre Terrell, the cool DJ and photographer and founder of the Street Pass app.
What up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Andre. Hey, Keish.
Hey.
Okay, so we may have another guest in a bit. Maybe, maybe not, but we shall see. So what am I talking on today? I had me some good old lemon haze oil, sativa strain. Next time I have more details for you guys, but
Tell us what it feels like, because I didn't get a chance to smoke today.
You didn't get no tokes on today?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Well, it's very light. It's very, you don't feel it in the body, obviously, but the lemon aroma in essence is, it's on your palate, that's for sure. And you can smell it as well, the vapors, but yeah, made in Michigan, okay? Speaking of Michigan, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, but I am a dual resident. I've been living in New Jersey, in the New York, New Jersey area for the last 20-something years. So I am back and forth, and I am recording this podcast out of Detroit Podcast Studios in Royal Oak. Now back to what I was getting into. Introducing myself. So what do I do as a sexologist? Well, one of my main things is, as a researcher, I research the sex industry, sex work. How did I get into this? Well, if I go back to my days of hip hop and the 90s and seeing video girls and strippers being popular in the videos and, you know, documentaries like Pimps Up, Hoes Down and things like that were pretty popular on HBO. And, you know, there was this celebration of the streets and the sex industry, but also a huge stigma around it. And it just seemed like the more strippers became popular, the more we started to see women in this industry, you know, on TV and in music and things like that. But one of the things that really interests me was the hypocrisy in the whole thing, because fashion was also moving towards looking like the women that we see in the videos. Hence, in the last 20 years, I mean, it's not a big deal to get butt implants and breast implants and things like that, have bodies like these girls, the video girls or strippers. And also, for example, pole dance parties became popular. So now you got people's grandmoms saying, hey, you know, it's funny at a bachelorette party to dance on a pole. But women who do this to make a living, to make money, to feed their families, to pay the rent, they get stigmatized, you know. And I noticed this was something that I noticed when I was in my graduate program. So I figured if I'm going to be a sex nerd, why not study something cool and at the same time be an activist? Because I guess social justice is just in my bones. My grandma and I used to always have conversations about prostitution, which she thinks is a necessary position in society. It's not easy to talk about this to people, especially if you have a grandma who's cool enough to talk to it. It's kind of like having favor. So with grandma's blessing, this became something very dear to me. Currently right now, too, in New York, they have organized some efforts to actually decriminalize prostitution in New York City. Which, if I think about what I'm doing in sex work and my research now, is similar to what I saw happen with cannabis. One of the things that I want to do is get people's opinions about sex work, what their attitudes are. I feel like public opinion matters when it comes to passing laws and policies. So, for example, years ago, obviously, there was public opinion about cannabis before it became legal, and we start seeing it spread through like wildfire through the states. California was first. I remember you used to live in California, Keish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. California was kind of loose with their laws, though. So it was almost like it was recreational medical marijuana in California because it was so easy to get a medical marijuana card. But I'm sure there was years and years of research with public opinion and things like that before people organized to try to get laws passed and make it legal. Anyway, back to sex work. So we've been hearing about a stripper, an ex-stripper in the media for a while. And Keisha, you do media kind of work. Mm-hmm. And it seems like an old video has come back, not necessarily to haunt Cardi B, but now all of a sudden she's in the spotlight because of something that she said about drugging and robbing one of her clients. Oh, you got something to say too?
No, go ahead. We're going to get to it.
Okay. Okay. All right. So,
hot topic.
Yeah, it is. First of all, it's wrong to drug anybody and rob anybody. Both of those things are wrong. I don't agree with either one. But before I judge, I guess I try to question the context of the situation first. You know, what situation was Cardi in when that was happening? I also know that sometimes guys pay girls to get high with them so they can have sex and do other things because they just want them not so much aware. They want them to be under the influence. So, you know, I just don't give her the benefit of the doubt. It's totally wrong, but sex work is a complicated thing, and we don't know.
We don't know. I think that's just the main key. We don't know what situation she was in. We don't know if these are guys just around the way, if it even had anything to do with her being a sex worker or her just being a girl from around the way, drugging and robbing dudes.
Well, I think the premise that you know, she had a clientele from dancing, which would be considered sex work. Am I correct?
It is considered sex
strippers
work.
Even if
she doesn't consider herself a sex worker. All sex workers say that.
But
they
strippers
are.
Don't have friends. I don't know strippers who only affiliate with their
No, customers. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that, you know, if she met a guy at the club and he's there making it rain, and you know, now it turns into extra service. So now it's the premise that, hey, yeah, we're gonna go to the room and I'm gonna give you some.
That's if that's what happened.
And that's the context of the premise that she laid out, you know, that she robbed dudes for their money. And that's the only way you would engage someone from the perspective of them having money for you to rob them.
Okay, but did she say as a stripper, or she just said when I was a stripper?
She said when I was younger. And she also talked about how she would get guys back with revenge by setting them up with trannies. So
it's a long line, it's not just that one thing.
Yeah,
okay.
So she did a lot of things. That would be considered a bait and switch in the retail world. You come in and get one thing, you get something totally different.
Basically, don't mess with Cardi.
I guess don't mess with Cardi. But also, now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, did she do it in the context of sex work in general? It's a lot of girls that will put a dude to sleep or give him some extra doses of another shot in his drink or whatever, just so they can take advantage of him. It's a continuum of these behaviors.
It is.
You know what I mean?
And I think that, again, we really don't know the context. And secondly, even if that was the context, I just think the drugging point is wrong, and I don't think women or sex workers should be afforded that double standard.
Ooh, okay. So it's a double standard. Gotcha.
It's wrong for a man to drug a woman, right?
It's wrong for anybody to drug anybody.
Right.
So it's like, because we have this affinity for Cardi B at this moment because she's hot and she's popping, we love her, we can identify with her.
It's like she can do no wrong.
She gets a pass.
Right.
And that's what a lot of guys have wrongly connected that same act with a Bill Cosby.
Right,
instance.
I was going to mention
that's unfortunately not the same thing.
Right,
no,
you know, it's almost the reverse. Now, either of the two are you know, erase the other. So, you know, one is not the lesser of two evils. They're just different evils.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. I definitely agree. I don't think rape was ever a part of the claim.
Right. It was the opposite. It's almost like a theft of service.
Well, they try to lump.
I'm going to rob you. I'm going to catch you slipping, and I'm walking away with your money.
Right. And the intention was that he was coming to the room to have sex. And he was probably had the intention of paying for it. That's why he had the money. Mm-hmm. So instead of me giving you, or maybe she did have sex with him. But at the same time, she drugged him and then robbed him. So the context, of course, is not clear totally what happened.
Right.
But from my summation of the context, is that was the premise that these guys met in a club and she said, "Hey, yeah, you can." And that's how it goes. I want to take a stripper. We're gonna go get a room. And
that's why they call them tricks.
And that's
sometimes they don't get the treat; they get the trick.
Right, that's what it is. And that's the nature of the street hustle.
Right.
You know, and that's the lifestyle that it is. But it still is under the scope of
sex.
All
of the lifestyle is not like that.
Right.
But that's
where
can
the
be
stigma
a part of.
From.
The game.
Right.
Okay, but let me pose this out to you. So let's say it was a job for Cardi,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's a job. I give you the money. I want this. I made this transaction, so I'm expecting this type of service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as a man, if this is where we're going with this, he pays for a service for Cardi,
mm-hmm.
he should be able to get that service safely, correct?
Right.
I agree.
So if he has to worry about getting drugged and getting robbed, there's an issue there, correct?
Right. So
that just like, who knows? I'm sure Johns, that's what they consider them, clients. They probably have bad lists, just like prostitutes have bad date lists. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a bad experience with somebody, they're gonna inform the network. Like, don't serve that guy. He's this. He's that. He's dangerous. He's rude or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I would imagine with all of the social media and forums and stuff like that, I'm sure there's forums where guys say, don't see her. You know, they rate whatever escort sex worker.
Still, but if we're talking about it as a profession, I feel like the client should be afforded some type of safe place.
Right. And that's because.
Well, the workers need safe places.
Well, same token.
I'm not saying that. Yeah, I'm saying that that's just across the board.
Right.
You shouldn't be scared of somebody robbing you.
But because of the subculture of what it is.
Prostitution should be legalized, and maybe people wouldn't have to do these things. There would be, you know, certain regulations. Well, some people don't want it regulated. Some people just want to decriminalize to let people do what they want to do. But if there was a legalization element to it, it would probably reduce some of the things like this from happening.
In a way, but just like in since the sex and you know, cannabis, it's the same context of cannabis. So it's legalized, but there are so many restrictions. And what's stopping someone from, again, you know, growing and harvesting their own marijuana illegally?
What's the
separation? So it's decriminalized. Decriminalization is one thing, and the legalization is a whole nother thing.
That's true.
You know, so you can't get confused in the context. Just like carrying a gun is legal. So now in the context, I'm going to carry a gun. But no, you have to have a permit.
Right.
And then you're still bound by the same laws of murder. If you were to shoot somebody, just because you have a legal firearm doesn't mean you can't be tried with a murder. So now we have a group of individuals who decide that I'm going to get me a gun permit, I'm going to carry a gun, and not think about the repercussions of shooting somebody. Just like the police, if you have to, you know, if they have to discharge their firearm, there has to be an investigation.
True.
You know,
okay.
And it has to be a finding of, you know, no misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
So you can illegally discharge a firearm as a police officer. So a lot of things become a kind of a miscued context, even when you're dealing with the marijuana legalization or the prostitution.
I mean, you know, I think with anything that's legal, I mean, cigarettes went through its thing, but you still have an illegal market for Lucy's. I think mm-hmm. with anything, whether it's legal or not, you're going to still have that black market.
Right, right. And that's,
but
that's
the legalization the reduces certain risk that you know,
so,
people end up having.
Right. And so,
like
so,
getting robbed or raped or something like that.
So now you're dealing with the, again, back to the subculture or the street culture. So where does the money come from? So now as a legal institution of prostitution, you're paying for service that you now have to exchange how you got the money for the service. So now you write your taxes off. Now your money
sex
is.
Sex workers do pay taxes.
Well, but I'm saying the money. Some in certain instances, but I'm talking about, you know, the girls who's so-called tricking at the club, and they're getting their clients typically, in especially in the urban communities, from the dude who sells the drugs.
But I think we're also making that assumption with Cardi. I mean, who's to say that it was an exchange for prostitution?
That's what I'm saying.
And again,
it
that,
might
again,
not
that's
even
my,
been a client, that, but I think we sensationalize people who do sex work,
exactly.
And we want to equate that, and we want to just
right.
have another way to say it's bad, you know?
Well, and again, based on the context, because we were talking about, you know, her as a stripper in her past life, and that's what that was.
I mean, and that's why I started the conversation by saying, who's to say this wasn't just Cardi hanging out around the way? We are giving her this context because she just so happened to be a stripper.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again,
a lot of judgment and assumptions come with
that title.
Exactly.
And but she kind of, you know, confirmed the assumptions that in the context of that, she was a stripper and she also robbed people. So that does that happen across the board?
Yes, it can happen to someone who never did sex work in their life, who is just used to dating someone with money, and just say, you know what? I'm gonna slip an extra $200 out his pocket.
I mean, I never really heard her.
So
he's
again,
asleep right now.
So again, why? So again, from that context, why do you want to make something like that legal? Just from the context, because
what,
now
something
we,
like
because,
prostitution?
Because we're dealing with people.
Okay, it's a whole host of other reasons.
Well, I'm saying if I know what you're saying, but I'm saying from the ethical standpoint, if someone said, "Well, damn, all these prostitutes robbing people, we're gonna give them legalization to do that."
No,
what's going to stop? What's going to stop them from doing it, even if it's legal? Nothing.
I mean, what's stopping people from getting marijuana from street dealers still in states where it's legal?
Nothing.
I mean, exactly.
So
people are going to
do what they do.
But to legalize prostitution would mean prostitutes can report if they're raped.
Uh-huh.
You know, they can
without being prosecuted for having.
Correct.
So I get that.
Correct.
No, totally.
They can go to health clinics. They mm-hmm. would be able to get health insurance and a whole host of mm-hmm. benefits, you know, that'll help the welfare of them and their families.
Right,
that's what legalization or decriminalization would do. Because once they get arrested for it, then forget about it. They're
mm-hmm.
in the system. You
right,
know,
right.
They have arrest. What kind of jobs are they going to get?
And
then, because I started out talking about New York, in a place like New York, you have so many undocumented people
mm-hmm.
who may not be able to find the kind of work they need to find right.
right
away, and they may do that just to start making some money in a place like New York
mm-hmm.
where it's very expensive to live. Now, trafficking is a whole different situation. We know that happens, but, you know, people who willingly go into it,
right.
They know they're going into something illegal, and they're taking a chance.
And it would also protect the Johns in that case too. So
it would.
So it's like, okay, if I got robbed, I won't be scared to call the police and say I got robbed because I was doing something illegal anyway. So you know, there's a two sides to every story, catch 22, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some pros and cons, some goods and bad. So definitely, I appreciate all of that.
Mm-hmm. And this is. I don't know. I feel like this is old, but it still somehow keeps coming up, the Jussie Smollett thing, you know, because they dropped the charges, but now, you know, everybody's mad and wants to fire the Kim Worthy, I believe that's her name. So I'm you know, part of me, because I was asking Keisha about images in the media and, you know, obviously celebrities, I don't know, maybe bad publicity is still good, but how at this point, what is his media image going to be moving forth? What do you think? You know, how can he salvage, if he can, his reputation?
I mean, I think that's a good question, and I don't even really know how to answer it, because I think this day and age in media, we're seeing something different. People change their opinions on people every single day depending on the headline. Mm-hmm. You know? First, he's guilty. That's how the headlines read. So you have everyone in America thinking that he's guilty. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's riding for him because he's innocent. So I do think today we're dealing with a generation who has ADD, mm-hmm. and they're going to go with whatever is fed to them.
It's a snap, pop, pop, crackle generation. Like, it's fizzing, it's popping, it's gone. It's
So I definitely think he can reclaim his...
He has to do something hot. He has to do something real cool, real hot. Somebody
well,
got to
he's
going to
be back on Empire.
Are they going to?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they didn't cut his five episodes or something like that.
Yeah, so as long as he still has the support from his creative community.
Yeah, he has to do
it
the...
It can still work.
Okay. Right. He got to do the comedic spin back on. He got to come back like, yeah, this is what happened. Ha, ha, ha. And get over it. And that's the only way to really get over that is for him to really address it. But then, really, he can't.
Well, I think one issue is I think it was the lesbian. Is she a new mayor in Chicago or something mm-hmm.
yes,
like that?
Yes, that's
And the
that's
first
right.
thing she's bringing up is she wants to know why his case got dismissed.
Yeah. So
it's like people aren't leaving it alone.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Mm. Shrimp
that's,
transparency.
That's really interesting. She's not leaving it alone.
Right.
Yeah. So she like wants to be transparent as a mayor. So she don't want to be jaded because of her sexuality, and then to tie that into she wants to be transparent
right,
and fair.
Right.
But, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So
but it's also there's so many things she could be worried about in Chicago instead of going back to
yeah,
Jesse.
Because
like,
of the
like
hot time.
The raid they did and they had the wrong address. What about all the resources that went into that? Mm-hmm. Like, tell me why you really mad, you know?
Go hard for R. Kelly.
Oh, please do. Can you use those resources? Yes. Yes. Okay. Mute R. Kelly. Yeah, and I was out there
yes,
on that
yes,
picket
were,
line
with the
too,
sign,
a year,
with the sign,
a year
yeah.
ago.
Y'all, she had a sign.
I did. You know, hey, my buddy called, said that he was going. I said, I'm with it. You know, hey, when a woman's fed up, this is what we did about it. We went down and marched and said, hashtag, mute R. Kelly. And it was amazing how many people went in that concert. But see, I'm not going to give R. Kelly too much a platform on here like that. So we're going to keep it moving and, wind on down. So another thing I wanted to talk about was I actually went to this seminar workshop. It was given by this sister. Her name was Margot Brunner. She's with the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association. And, I was 10 minutes late, sorry. But what I did see was pretty dynamic. And dynamic in the way that when I first walked in the room, I thought two things. The one thing I always think when I walk into events that are cannabis, you know, themed and networking, is like, where are the colored folk, people of color, you know? Mm-hmm. But the second thing I was thinking was I couldn't believe that it was going to be a room full of people, the majority, 80% of the room, I would say, was probably 65 and over. Mm-hmm. And now I'm probably giving a generous estimate. They might have been more like 70 and over.
Okay.
And majority white. And it just made me think, wow, you know, there's so many different audiences that are either interested in getting into cannabis or learning more about it. And, you know, being in Michigan is really cool because I could see how the process has gone through. And she was mentioning that Michigan was similar to California in that I think it's the second largest of medical marijuana card holders in the state. So legalization here, it was a process, but, you know, it was inevitable that we would legalize it here. So they're projecting, like, I think more than $500 million in sales in the next couple of years. There's going to be this wave of opportunity for people to, you know, get licensed, you know, growers, and other ancillary type of medical, well, not medical, but marijuana business is not as legal here. But what broke my heart was my home state, New Jersey, dropped the ball. I was really looking forward to them, you know, going through with the legalization vote. And a part of me is just like, okay, is this like a fight of the cousins? Because New York across the bridge, you know, they're going in the race to legalize marijuana as well. So now I don't know, because part of me feels like if I see the opportunity in Michigan, I could see where it could go in New Jersey. You know what I mean? But there's so many organizations. I mean, I don't know how many exactly, but I'm starting to see more and more organizations address the social equity of the cannabis business. You know what I mean? But like I said, when I go into a room like I went into yesterday, I'm still only seeing maybe 5 or 6 black faces out of maybe
as owners
40 people.
Or
as people who are interested, or people who are invested. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of other opportunities for education too. I think that's probably what that just made me realize.
I think a lot of people aren't aware of all the resources, where to find them in terms of starting up the business and getting the licenses to grow.
Right, right.
I think it's just an access of information.
Right. And I believe her organization does that. I would love to talk to her. Maybe she'll come on the show. I think she's out in Lansing, but It would be great to have her on. So we shall see where that goes. Maybe I can.
That would be a good show idea.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because we know that a lot more, I mean, being in the New York area, we know a lot more people of color were locked up for minor marijuana offenses. So, I mean, if anything, people of color have had a stake in the game a long time ago. So, you know, we should actually be the first ones that should be able to reap the benefits.
I mean, we made it popular.
We sure did. Thanks, Snoop Dogg, because I surely went
Chronic album
to high school and was playing that every day. Okay. That's right. So, yeah, they made it real popular. Well, maybe for our generation.
For our generation.
Because I was going to say, you know, Willie Nelson and Cheech and Chong and all those other folks probably made it popular for their generation, too. And then generations and generations before that. The peace pipe. Other people. Ganja has been...
It's been here.
Here for generations. And on that note, I hope you toke and have a good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. With 15 Minutes of Flame. And until next time, friends, stay elevated.
Stay elevated. Thanks, V.
Thank you all
for
coming.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. That was a minute earlier.
You're right.
Okay. Shit. It's done.
It was intense.
I want to pick up a mic. I'm sitting back here fighting myself. I'm like, fuck.
I want to say, no, I wanted to get in on that.
Right? I did it.
Okay, how do you feel?
Okay. Still got to play it back.
I know. I'm like, one and done.
One and done.
But I know I'm going to critique the hell out of myself. That's just what I do.
That's okay.
But, yeah.
Did you wrap it already?
Yep. Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I was getting ready to come back in, but then I heard applause, and I figured you were done.
Yeah, I finished a minute early. Okay, cool.